One of the fastest growing businesses in the world is the hospitality industry. And in this part of the world, at this time of year, it's in full swing. It's an industry that includes everything from food and hotel services to amusement parks and travel. There's plenty of opportunity, diversity in that field. And interestingly enough, there's plenty of turnover as well. In fact, the hospitality industry has one of the highest turnover rates of any work, of any area. What initially is seen as attractive and exciting can soon become difficult and dull. People who work in such fields often are looking for the next thing. Today's scriptures do not present us with the next thing, but what Jesus refers to in this reading as the one thing. This translation is translated the better part. And I'd like to suggest this morning that that better part, that one thing so fundamental to the Christian gospel, is hospitality. It's something that Jesus found in the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. In fact, we're told that Jesus would often go there and rest. It's something that's on display dramatically in this first reading today, Genesis 18, where Abraham welcomes these visitors and guests. It's an attribute, an attitude. It's a characteristic that lies at the very heart of the Judeo-Christian life and human life itself. Hospitality. For when we welcome the other, we welcome Christ. 1,500 years ago, the great Saint Benedict, father of Western monasticism, in many ways, he saved Europe at the time. He included hospitality in his famous rule, the rule of Saint Benedict. It reads, "All guests who present themselves are to be welcomed as Christ. For he himself will say, 'I was a stranger and you welcomed me.'" I suppose that we all know what it means to welcome someone or to be hospitable. Certainly, we know what it does not mean. It means we do not kill or run over people with trucks or cut off their heads with swords. But you know, it also means that we don't run over people with our gossip or our words or being malicious. It means that we don't bully or hate, cut people off, or use people for selfish motives. We know that. But what does hospitality involve? What does it demand? And you know, when you start thinking about it, it demands an awful lot. Spiritual writer Henry Nouwen says, "Hospitality is the creation of free space where the stranger can become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not changing people, but offering a space where change can take place. It's not bringing men and women over to our side, impressing them, showing off, putting out a good meal, beautiful home. But rather, it's offering them freedom. Freedom not disturbed by dividing lines." The etymology of the word is rather interesting, too. The word hospitality comes from a word that is not unrelated to the word hostile. In Latin, hospes, meaning the host or the guest. Hostess, the enemy, the stranger. Even the etymology shows us that hospitality demands a movement. That we, in our relations with one another, move from hostility to hospitality. And so more than etiquette or politeness or good manners, hospitality demands from us a change of heart. It's what Jesus enabled and found in Bethany. He changed that house. People became better because he was there. And you know, Jesus enables and makes possible that change here, where you and I can become better. Why? Because he is here. Because he has made this place sacred for us, so that our place may become more welcoming, available, and sacred for the other. My friends, in a world that seems to be growing a bit more hostile and divided, it might be worth giving hospitality a second look. What it means for me, for you, to make room for the other, to get our house in order so that we may have room for the other. One of the great saints of the church and one of the greatest minds of Western civilization, Saint Augustine, he wrote so beautifully and so honestly about his own house, how disturbed it was, how confused it was, how filled with lust and pride and all sorts of things. And his prayer I'd like to end with. It's actually two prayers that he wrote that I think speak to what God can do in us to make us more hospitable. St. Augustine prayed, "O Lord, the house of my soul is narrow. Enlarge it that you may enter in. It is ruinous. Lord, repair it. It displeases your sight. I confess it and I know it. But who shall cleanse it? To whom shall I cry but to you? Cleanse me from my secret faults, O Lord, and spare your servant from strange sins." And then he prayed his famous prayer to the Holy Spirit. "Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may be all holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I may love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy." My friends, the beautiful work that God wants to do within each one of us, enlarging us, making us available, making us holy people. That's the work that maybe these readings this week can stir up in us. They certainly invite us. And to you and I who have been called by God, this is the great invitation. And to say yes to that brings blessing. It will bring more of what we pray for in this world. And we can be that hospitable guest, that welcome servant for the other in our midst.